CliffCentral.com.
Hello, once again, this is Bo Quizzy on the Unplugged and In Charge Radio Show. Yes, I'm excited to be with you again this afternoon, another exciting show that I have in store for you. And I have a very exciting guest with me as well. It's another edition of the Unplugged and In Charge Radio Show on Cliff Central. My name is Bo Quizzy. If you want to get in touch with us, you can also send us our WhatsApp messages on 079-748-2090. And you can keep in touch with us. You can send us your voice notes. You can send WhatsApp texts. We'll read them live. If there's any questions that you have for the guest, you can send them through via WhatsApp. Or you can also hit us up on social media. It's at Cliff Central on Twitter. It's at Sbokuzi on social media, which is Instagram and also Twitter. I'm also on Instagram Live. For everybody that is wanting to stay in touch and to continue to be in touch with the show, I'm going to be with you throughout from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. But yeah, welcome to the Unplugged and Charged Radio Show. I'm just needing some signal right here. Welcome to the show. But yeah, I have some pretty interesting jam-packed things for you this afternoon. And before I start, I want to share some interesting news that I've come across on social media, which is quite inspiring, that I want to share with you back home. And one of them, firstly, as we kickstart the show, it says here, which is something that I found that is very, very interesting that I want to share with you. It says, the most beautiful person is one who, and one it says please, asks for clarification. And then the third one, it says, a person that apologizes, a person that is kind, a person that reads and argues with respect, someone that has respects also other people's opinions. And also someone that supports others, and also someone that admits they don't know, someone also that chooses battles to fight. And now the end part of it says that if you don't have any of these, you need to get help. So I'm sharing these just to spark a bit of thinking in your brain. And then I'm going to share also some accolades. And it's beautiful to see that there are people, especially young people throughout the country, that are really excelling in their different endeavors. And one of the things that I always look out for, to make sure that also I bring some nice content for you on the Unplugged and In Charge Radio Show, is to look out for people that are doing outstanding things. And one of them is Deboho Mahoshoa. Hopefully I did pronounce it well. If I didn't, you're going to have to forgive me. Who recently got elected as president of the Wildlife Ranching South Africa at its AGM in Polokwane. And Deboho is a wildlife farmer of note and breeds buffalo, sable antelope, and roan antelope, as well as common plains games such as impala and gemsbok. And this is taken from James Farmers Weekly, which is a publication that also documents such achievements of people that are within the farming industry. And again, it's credit goes to Shua underscore Kemhunga, who's on Twitter, who also always, all the time, keeps us updated. And I always see some interesting things on his timeline that he posts. And it's always got to do with black excellence. It's got to do with the things that young people are doing that is outstanding, whether it's people that are graduating, whether it's people that are doing well in their business. It's a whole lot of things. And I really credit this guy because he really keeps us informed. I mean, another thing that I managed to pick up is that there's a young lady that is by the name as Zama Butelezi, who's a very successful farmer in KZN, who is doing wonders with the land, and she's planting Geez, man, it's hectares and hectares of plantations, which consists of cabbages and different kinds of veggies, which she's managing to also provide for some of our local stores that we know, like Pick and Pay, Spar, and all the other outlets, which is something that is really, really amazing. And it's got to do with women empowerment, which is something great that we see and we note there, because most of the time when it comes to business, it's really, really associated with the male figures. And it's beautiful when you see females that are really outdoing themselves and making sure that they achieve certain things that are unthinkable. And another one, just to share with you, a third person that is really inspiring that I found that is worthy for me to share on the show, it's Dr. Thabi Looka, who has been appointed as a board member of SA Express. And the other week, she was also appointed as a panel member to advise Treasury on expanded list of VAT zero rooted goods. And yeah, she must just keep winning. And it's another lady who's doing some really, really great stuff. And then maybe just to inform you, I don't know how well you do know some of the people that actually hold some of the highest positions in some of the companies that play a very huge role in our lives. And one of the companies is Eskom in South Africa. And as we know that we in the country, we did face a couple of struggles when it comes to the load shedding in the previous years with Eskom, with a lot of criticism in terms of the electricity prices, etc., etc. And there's been a lot of scandals that have been going on. I'm not sure. I wouldn't like to really highlight the bad stuff, but I do know that there's a bit of struggle that has been going on within Eskom. Again, we saw the building of the power station, which was a remedy to try and combat the whole load shedding in the country. But then again, congratulations to Phakamani Radebe, who has been confirmed as Eskom CEO. He has been acting since the utility parted with likes of Brian Molefe. He truly deserves all the support. And again, it's one of the things that it's not going to be easy. He seems to be a very committed person, and he's going to be really put amongst the hot seat to make sure that he brings change within Eskom. These are some of the interesting news and facts that I have for you on the Unplugged and In Charge radio show, just to spark a bit of thinking to you and to give you something interesting that you might have seen but not really paid attention to. But then again, just to remind you, my name is Smoke Kuzi. This is the Unplugged and In Charge radio show. It plays every single Thursday between 3 and 4 p.m. And this show is all about bringing you the best of the best inspiration every single week, and we highlight some of the most amazing things that young people are doing outside, whether it's from business, whether it's entertainment, you name it. And we always welcome for your suggestions to make sure that we also cater for you a brilliant show that is listener friendly to you back home. And today I have a very interesting guest who you might have seen in your TV screens. You might have heard about him. He's done some really amazing work, and this is an individual that I really believe in, and I feel that he has a lot to share with us. And today he's on the hot seat on the Unplugged and In Charge radio show. His name is Fellow Lati. Welcome on the show, my brother.
Thank you so much, man.
How are you doing?
I'm okay.
Yeah?
I'm pretty good. Yourself?
I'm great. Don't be nervous, eh?
No, not really.
Just relax. We're going to have a good time on the show.
Definitely.
Welcome on the Unplugged and In Charge radio show. We're really looking forward to spend the hour with you and to hear what it is that you have in store for us on the show. And we're all about inspiration, and I truly believe that you have a thing or two to inspire the young people out there. Yeah. We're a show that believes a lot on young talent. We believe on black excellence. We believe on the youth of South Africa, and it's something that we're really passionate about as the Unplugged and In Charge radio show. But before I actually say too much, because sometimes I get a bit carried away, I just want you to introduce yourself to the people back home. Tell us a bit more about who is Fellow Lati.
Fellow Lati, real name, as Tsholofelo Mokine, from Siyabusa. I need to put this out there, because there was a debate on my fan page. People from back home were kind of angry. They're going why is everybody saying that Fellow is from Pretoria? Why is everyone, So, guys, I'm from MP, Siyabusa, but moved to Pretoria just to further my career. So, inspiring house music DJ, producer, and, music lover. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, cool. Fellow Lati, I know my brother, as both of us, we are DJs. I mean, probably people back home, you know, they always hear me saying that I'm a DJ. But funny enough, you're actually my colleague and we work together. and today I actually texted one of our brothers, Dick Byrne, and I said to him, we're actually making history today. Because I don't think that there's been such an interaction amongst our fellow DJ colleagues within the city that we come from.
That's true.
And I think for me today is very special. But in a way that, not to say that we're better than anybody else, but really to put in a motivational aspect to working within this DJing field. Because I know a lot of people know DJs, but they don't really know what actually happens behind closed doors. I mean, we are people that people just see us when we are in the decks or we are in these venues and we're playing and we're making people dance and we make them feel good, but they don't know the actual things that happen behind
the scenes.
Yeah. And you are one person that is perfect to actually unpack this for us. And you're going to take us through the journey of your DJing career. Especially, we want to be interested on the cracks, your falls, your comebacks, your disappointments, you know, empty promises, you knock on doors, rejects, and you continue and you persistently carry on to pursue what you want and you want to achieve within the whole DJing space. So tell us, in terms of your upbringing, where did you grow up?
Grew up in Siyabuswa, in MP. That's where the love actually started, man, for music, you know. I used to, like... Well, the first time, you know, I remember there was like a small get-together at my grandmother's house. And there was this tape back then. You know, back then we used to use like cassettes and everything. So I used to be that guy that would put cassettes on both sides. And when this song finishes, I'd quickly play the other one. When this one finishes, then I'll quickly, you know. So yeah, I grew up that side. And the music, I fell in love with it that side. Thanks to my uncle and the family, it was a pretty, I'd say I'm happy that I discovered music that side. Mm-hmm. I'm really happy because I learned a lot.
All right, cool. And then from that stage, in terms of discovering your music talent, what is it that you did about it?
I actually decided that I actually want to further this, you know. Mm-hmm. And just see how far it can take me, although I had like dreams to go far. But at that time, I was still young. So I was like, let me just try this and see, you know. And as time went on, I just found myself into like situations where now I'm in this, like, in the hood, we call them Mama Tavern, you know, these nice, these luxury places and everything. So they had like these vinyls and CDJs. So I was always in, you know, if I wasn't there, when I'm with my uncle, you know, there were times where like my mom, because she was working and my grandmother was working a lot of times, so they would take me to my great grandmother's place, and my uncle used to stay there, and he had a PC, and it had music, it had this mixing software in it, so I couldn't run away from it. When I was there, you know, if I wasn't at this tavern or, you know, this place, then I was at my uncle's. Mm-hmm. If I wasn't there, then I'm at home and my mom loves to play music. So either way, music was just everywhere. So I just decided that, you know what, let me just take this further. And I started teaching myself how to play and asking questions, you know, and asking for some of the people to be mentors in my life, just to help me out to, you know, to sharpen this craft.
All right. So the interesting thing that you actually mentioned, that you come from an age where we still had cassettes existing. I mean, how did you find that whole experience of having to teach yourself and learn music through listening to cassettes and that whole era? Because now we live in a more digital space, but I just want you to unpack that.
It was very interesting, bro. I don't want to lie to you. It was very, interesting, man. It was very interesting because now you had... Right now we have like pitches where you can like fix the song and everything, you know. But back then, and remember that back then it was more of Kwaito and songs like your Brenda Fassie, your Brahu, you know. So my family was more into that, and like a Brenda Fassie song would finish, then you would play a Brahu song, and Brahu song would finish, you'd play Miriam Makeba, you know. So it was very, it was very interesting, and it was I wouldn't say the time that we're living in right now is not nice or anything like that, but it was very educational back then in terms of music. You learned so much, and mixing that with DJing, I feel like you also learn from that, you know, because now, as I said, there were no pitches at that time. It was all about cue and play. So now when you have this, you appreciate more. You know, that's why they say everything that you go through that's difficult, when you have this beautiful result at the end, you appreciate it more because of everything that you learned. So me learning your cassettes and everything made me just appreciate music at this stage, although it was very difficult. Yeah. I won't lie, but yeah, it was pretty dope.
You know, the interesting thing, as you mentioned this, is because you hear a lot that, especially musicians, they always talk about that their musical talent was discovered because they were either part of a choir, or they played an instrument at church, whether they were a piano or they were playing a guitar, whatever the case is. But in your case, in this time, it's all about just listening to cassettes and trying to have this drive for music.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah?
Yeah. I always say this. I wish I kind of discovered music in like a church space, because I've realized most musicians that are, you know, successful and everything, they always say that, no, I was part of a choir, or I learned the piano at church, or 1, 2, 3, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I guess we all learn in different ways. Mm-hmm. And your path cannot be the same as mine, or you know what I mean, vice versa. So, but I do feel like I should have had that small knowledge, you know, and that space. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. So you mentioned that now, you, in terms of your cassette and your cassette period, in terms of learning music, you moved on to playing with vinyls, right?
Yeah. From that, we went to vinyls.
How did that pan out?
Jeez. It was, you know, most of the things that I experienced were very educational. Vinyls were also difficult at that time, because to be honest, I actually started with like CDJs, but they were like these small CDJs, not the big ones, you know, the small that are intact. And then I was introduced to vinyl, so it was like I had to like start, you know, over with vinyl. It was interesting and difficult, because now the pitch, you can't see what's the tempo, you know, and the songs you can't browse. You know what I mean? You can't browse. So your vinyl disc would tell you that this side has two songs, the other side has other songs. And the freaky part is that you don't know what time the song is gonna finish. You know, so you just had to play, and you had to know your music at that time. And I didn't know vinyl music at that time. So every time, I remember there was once an event where they just decided that today we're using vinyls.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, smacks, how am I going to do this? So I was like, nah, it's cool, because I love challenges. And I played. Now the song is about to finish. I didn't know that the song is about to finish. And you know how the vinyl makes noise and everything.
Yeah.
So I can hear that the beat. And the guy comes to me, he's like, yo, the song is about to finish. What are you going to do, bro? Mm-hmm. And I didn't have any idea what to do. But I quickly mixed it. But yeah, vinyls were very interesting, educational as well. And yeah, challenging at some point.
You know, I always say that people actually play music, especially DJs, with vinyls. I mean, especially when we talk about dancehall DJs with one of the venues that is based in Johannesburg. I really respect. I am a DJ.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know whether it's fortunate or it's unfortunate. I'm not a DJ that comes from an era where, you know, you played with vinyls, but when I see people play with vinyls, I'm like, how do you do this?
Do this,
you
know,
It's so complicated, man. You have to. I mean, when I have a chat with some of the legendary DJs, I mean, you find that a person came with a whole case.
Yep, yep, yep.
Of vinyls, yep, yep, to come and play.
Yep.
I mean, compared to now, where you just have a USB and you plug in.
You plug it.
You know, it's totally different. And I'm like, you know what? I'm actually glad that I grew up in this age. Because this thing of carrying vinyls and everything. Hey, bro.
Yeah, that's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
It is.
And I don't think that being a DJ at that time was something that is very as accessible that as it is now.
As it is now, yeah.
You know? So now, in terms of, that was back then when you were growing up, getting access to cassettes and vinyls.
Mm.
Now, you moved all the way from Mpumalanga and you came to Gauteng.
Yeah.
And you came to Pretoria.
Yeah.
Tell us about that move.
The move was actually more inspired by my studies, because I was going to study sound tech. So going to study, I was like, nah man, you know, since I'm this side, I've always wanted to, like, you know, venture out from home to, like, a new environment.
Sure.
You know, so when I came to Gauteng to study sound technology, I used it as an opportunity to actually get this music thing going, you know. So while I was studying, I was busy hustling for, like, gigs, you know, at places around Pretoria. And at that time, it was a little bit difficult because you know how things go, you know.
Mm.
So it was a challenge that I really enjoyed. I don't want to lie, that I really, really enjoyed getting into, moving from home to Pretoria. I think even if I wasn't studying sound technology, or, you know, studying maybe after matric or something, if maybe there were, like, things that kind of stopped it or prevented that, if I may say, I would have still moved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would have just made a plan. I would have traveled until I could, you know,
mm-hmm.
find a spot that could, like, you know, help me to grow further.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Now, the interesting thing that you're mentioning is that you went to study sound technology.
Yeah.
Where did you study it?
I studied it at Damlin.
Damlin.
Yeah.
Now, if you look across the board, I think a very high percentage of young people that are DJs, or people that are involved in the DJing industry, or as a profession, there's not a lot of people that actually have studied or went to school for it.
Yeah.
Even some amongst the producers, there are people that are just, that grow up knowing how to learn stuff and to function with stuff, and then they're self-taught, and they just, on the journey, they kind of catch how you manage to put together or compose beats and what. In terms of, as a DJ coming from you, how important is it for DJs to go to school and to study and to get that knowledge that is not that common amongst other DJs? How important is it as a DJ to have that?
It's vital, you know, man. It's really vital to study, you know, may it be studying music or sound or anything, you know what I mean, that has to do with, like, business or anything. I feel like with me at that time, I couldn't see it because I was really focused more on music,
mm-hmm.
and for the music to blossom. But now I'm thankful that I experienced that, because now I understand. I get to sit here and say that it's really important. And genuinely, you know, I wouldn't say that it's important to study just for the fun of it. It's really important to study whatever it is, you know. And even if you're a musician, or I don't know, within the art entertainment industry, and you feel like you want to study, you know, being a DJ or sound tech or something else, you know what I mean, I would say definitely study, you know what I mean, study as much as you can. It's very important, and it's educational, man. You get to learn a lot of things, even though they might not make sense at that time, because when I was studying sound tech, I was like, nah man, you know, like, I want to venture into music, and I'm doing all this, this technical stuff. But as time, like, went by, and I started doing more music, mixing more music, you know, I got to understand that, like, if I didn't study that, I couldn't mix my own songs. You know what I mean? I wouldn't be able to make the music even more clear, or make it like a 3D, you know, type of sound. So it's very vital, because I do see a lot of musicians, known and not well known, you know, some studied sound tech. I mean, your AK studied sound tech, your Black Coffee studied music, and I do know that Shimza studied marketing, which works hand in hand with music. because you know you need to like market everything. So it's very vital whether you study something that has to do with what you want to do or something that's just, as they call it, a backup, you know. But it's very important to study.
It's very vital that you mentioned that, because in a lot of people's eyes, the whole career of being a DJ, it's something that they either regard as something that people just wake up one day, because they cannot make it with other careers, or they cannot venture into whatever that, you know, other spaces. They will just go to DJing, because DJing is the most easiest. But at the same time, you know, as we speak, what you're mentioning right now, when you're speaking about the technicalities, you know, learning about music and all of that, DJing is not an easy job. Not only from a production perspective, but also when it comes to actually being on the decks. And again, you know, you get people that do shortcuts and they go download the programs and they try, and then they think that they're DJs. But when you come into the real thing, it's something that is really difficult. But now what I'm interested to know from your side is that as you were journeying and you were continuing with yourself, trying to push yourself, you know, who were some of your mentors that you looked up to that kind of sharpened your skills to make sure that yourself as a brand and as a DJ, you become what you want to be?
I actually looked up to a lot of people, you know, a few people, both from the family side and the music side, you know, the entertainment side. Like my uncle, you know, because he introduced me to this music thing and the DJ thing. And then from the industry, you know, your DJ Spoo, DJ Fresh, DJ Kent, Black Coffee, Vinny, those legends, your Crystals, you know, Tim White, there's a lot of them. So, but at the same time, I feel like people need to understand, or DJs need to understand, that as you mentioned, that some just go and they download these programs and then, you know, tomorrow they become DJs. If it works out for you, it works out. You know, I'm happy for you. You know, there's nothing negative that I can say, you know, towards those people. You know what I mean? As I said, the path is not the same. I may strive for years and make it, and you might just wake up tomorrow and just, you know, blossom. But now, it all goes with your goal at the same time. Mm-hmm. The people that you look up to, what are their goals? Are you willing to exceed their goals, or you just want to be beneath them, you know? Or you want to be on the same level? So I focused more on that. The people that I looked up to, I looked how they behave and their goals and everything. And then I just decided that, you know what, I want to take it further. I want to be not really the best or something like that, but I want to pick up where, let's say, Black Coffee left it and mm-hmm. just take it further, you know. So it all depends on your mindset as well. You know, you could be a buzz today, mm-hmm. but if you're not focused, then...
Can I just mention something that's actually going to challenge both of us?
Yeah.
It is so interesting. I was actually having a conversation with a friend of mine the other day, and I was on Instagram, and I was just going through Instagram, checking out whatever, you know, as I usually do. And I come across DJ Arch Jr.'s Instagram.
Yeah.
And he's like to me, look at this young boy.
He can't even
talk properly. And he's gigging more than you. And he's playing in platforms that you haven't even been able to get on. And he's traveling the world. He's making money abroad and all of this thing. You know, I'm mentioning this because, again, I mean, DJ Arch Jr. is a diamond in our country. Yeah, I mean, it's a young boy that just came out of nowhere, and he's doing such amazing stuff. I'm mentioning this because it's so interesting, because some of the stuff that this young lad is doing is things that you and I are actually looking up to him. You know what I mean?
True.
So it can be reversed like that, and it's one of those things that you can never say that you're better than the other.
Never.
And it links to this thing that you're saying, that we all in different parts. I mean,
exactly. Yeah.
And certain things just come in different ways with different people.
Yeah.
And what do you have to say in terms of DJ Arch Jr.?
Look, I'm very proud of the kid, man. I don't want to lie. Like, I even follow him on Instagram.
Yeah.
Like, I everything that he posts, or you know, that he shares,
yes,
I actually like it. And at a young age to be doing that, I just smile. You know, I'm very happy, because it's just amazing, man. And it's like new, you know?
Yeah.
It's very new. And it's his time, bro. You know what I mean? When it's his time, you know?
Now, the interesting thing that I'm picking up, which I'm wanting to relate into our conversation, the reason why I'm mentioning DJ Arch Jr. is because I'm just looking at the way that he's being managed. He's a young boy.
Yeah.
He's able, he's got the skills, he's blessed to have the skills to play music in front of people and to use the equipment. And I think it came naturally to him.
Mm.
But now the interesting thing that it's taking further is relating to our conversation in the sense that if you notice what they're doing to him, they're teaching him the basics of composing music. And if you go to his Instagram, you will see he's taking lessons in terms of learning the piano, learning the equipment in terms of the programs on the computer and all of that thing. Now, I'm mentioning this because of the importance of the need for you to be knowledgeable to a certain level, especially when it comes to the theoretical part of becoming a DJ. And I think from your side, you can actually expand in terms of the ratio between becoming a DJ playing music and becoming a DJ as being a producer. What is the balance between the two?
I can say that, you know, as I said, it's very important to know as much as you can. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Being a producer and being a DJ, I'd say that you benefit a lot, you know? Because now you get to produce music that you feel. Or you get to produce music that really makes people happy. At the same time, you get to play it. So imagine you start producing these beautiful songs, you know, and they just keep on piling up. And you just jam. And you, after playing one song, you play another one. After playing that one, you play another one. And people are just going crazy. And they keep on asking you, whose song is this?
Sure.
And you get to tell them that, nah, it's actually my song.
Yeah.
So the growth becomes even wider, you know, you grow even more because now you're playing your own stuff.
Yeah.
And you're playing your own music. There's nothing wrong with playing other people's song. I'm just saying that when you're playing your music, you know, you grow even further.
Sure.
And it's yeah, man.
Speaking about playing music, now you moved to Pretoria. We're going back to you now. We're sharing the journey. You came to Pretoria and you found yourself in the city where you saw greener pastures. Now, in terms of your hustle and to continue to pursue your dream, what is it that you did when you moved to Pretoria?
You mean the first thing?
Yes.
Jeez, what did I do? Jeez, I'm trying to remember. But I did a lot of stuff. I remember I used to walk because I stayed in like town, and most of the, you know, the vibe was in Hatfield. So I remember I used to walk from town to Hatfield. Just to go hustle a gig and walk back. And it's not safe at night, you know? So I think that's one of the craziest things that I've maybe done. Or, you know, that's how much I really wanted this music thing. I used to, like, go to, like, Hatfield and ask for slots to these clubs. And I got to play, you know? Obviously, you go through the most in life. But, yeah, I think that's the first thing that I kind of did. And yeah, from there onwards, I kind of grew.
What were some of the challenges in doing that?
Hey, let's not lie. Let's not say things to be, you know, like payment, number one. I think every DJ that starts to make it or something like that, they always go like, yo, whoever owed me, you know, so I can get my money back.
Sure.
So, yeah, I think payment was one of them, you know. You'd get to a club and this person would go like, no, play. And then you play and then they would go like, no, I'll give you your money on Monday or something. Or tomorrow, come back tomorrow.
Yes.
You'd come back, nothing still.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those were the part of the challenges. And as I said, I used to walk a lot at night. So it wasn't safe.
Mm-hmm.
That was another challenge. At the time, I don't think we had Ubers and Taxify. We didn't have such at that time. So those were like the challenges.
To get around.
Yeah,
to get from around. Gig to gig.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, I want to actually expand more in terms of the whole financial part of being a DJ. Because now we see people like Black Coffee who are buying private jets, you know. And again, if you had to also go to him and speak to him in terms of where did he start off? Because we do know, I mean, there are certain things that within the DJing world that obviously will not be disclosed in terms of the wider public, which I want to be able to have a chat with you just to inform people back home through yourself in terms of the reality that is out there in hustling, especially when you begin, because people always see you when you're shining. They don't see you when you go through the hard times, the dark tunnels and all of that. Just share some of the experiences from the financial perspective and also being able or trying to get yourself out there when it comes to trying to get gigs, hustle gigs in order to feed yourself. Because some people, again, as they start off being a DJ, they live off this thing. They don't have the privilege of doing this thing with an option, as an option, or they have something that is a mainstream income, and whatever the case is, from your side and your perspective, where you come from, what was your experience?
You know, with finance and the music thing, it's very tricky. I think with any entertainment field, you know, whether it's DJing or acting or whatnot, but specifically on like being a musician, it's very tough because now you're trying to get your name out there. You know, and you're trying to let, you know, tell people that you're this DJ that's really good, you know, and it's your word against theirs. So you have to like prove yourself. And at that time, proving yourself meant playing free for like a month or two or even more, you know, and because you get. There's those promoters, you know, they just get the money and just put it, they take it for themselves.
Sure.
Because they see that this guy is hungry for success, you know, so they put you on. So finance, when you're starting out, you know, in this entertainment thing, and again, it depends, you know, how you start out. With me, how I started out, it was very difficult because now I come from, I legit left Siyabuswa, come to this place, I know nobody within the entertainment industry, and now I have to like build my relationship from the ground, you know. So people didn't really trust when I said that I'm really good. So they would like put me on these gigs for like a month or more, and I'd play for free, and it was very tough. So it's always the case. And with as you mentioned, you know, Black Coffee, I heard you mention Black Coffee. He also started out in a similar manner. You know, there were times where he used to travel to like gigs because he also stayed in Pretoria at some point. And he used to travel to like around Pretoria, to Joburg, back Pretoria with no payment, you know. And it's always the case. But now it depends who, you know, where you're from. You could, that's what I'm saying, tomorrow you could wake up and your first gig, it's a paying gig. Because my first gig, my first paycheck, I think it was like $100.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it was like 100 grand or 200.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, it was very difficult. And I feel like it still is difficult, you know. It's just that people don't see what happens behind closed doors. And guys like Black Coffee, man, he used to go to like the States for free, you know, just to build the name. Mm-hmm. And that's what people don't know, you know. And there's times where he would go outside and play in the US, play in Europe, you know, four gigs, let's say four or five gigs. Mm-hmm. You find out that those gigs are free, but it's not more about the money. You know, it's more about building the brand. So it goes back to you, you know, getting your name out there. That's how you start. You know, that's how I started. Sure. When I got to Pretoria, putting the name out there. And although, you know, sometimes you do feel like, okay, the name is out there now. I feel like now I should be at least getting something, you know, as a reward to my hard work. And it's always a tricky situation.
And now at the same time you were studying, right?
I was studying at the same time.
All right, cool. So now after studying, obviously you did your technical sound technology qualification.
Yeah.
After that, what did you do?
I hope my mom is not listening.
Go ahead and share, bro.
after studying, I legit told mom, I was like, okay, here's the diploma. You know, because I didn't want to do sound. Look, I won't lie. I was less, I think my research level was very low at that time. Because I wanted to do music.
Sure.
I didn't want to do sound. So, it was like too late already. So, I was like, okay, it's cool. You know, let me study. So, when I got my diploma, I was like, mom, I'm done. You know?
Sure.
Can I just continue with this music thing and let me see where it takes me? Because I wasn't really more of a person that's into like technical stuff, you know, like switching knobs and connecting such things. I'm more of a music person, making music, you know, making people happy when I'm playing. So after college, I was like, let me just continue with this music thing, this DJing thing and producing thing, and let me see where it takes me. And if that doesn't work out, then I'm willing to go to all these corporate places and just hand out my diploma.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Now, one thing that that is very unique about yourself, I know that you're going to expand further. What makes you different from any other DJ is that you're an amazing producer.
Thank you, bro.
And I believe that there's a lot of things that, you know, that the people out there are yet to hear from yourself. But from your side, I want to hear in terms of what is it that makes DJ Fellow Lati distinct and different and unique from any other producer in South Africa, especially with the level. Because I'm speaking like this because you have accolades that you have achieved, which we want to hear about, you know, and you've done stuff that is quite commendable, but now what is it that sets you apart and different from your production and from your style and also the vision that you have within your music? What's the message and what is your niche in terms of what you do and your craft?
I would say it's in the lamest terms, I would say originality, me being myself, you know. And you know, I'm very cautious every time when I get into studio. I feel like sometimes I'm very hard on myself, because even now I was actually at the studio working on this song. It's a very vibey song, so I'm very like, you know, cautious with how the music is spread. And I would say what really sets me aside is, I don't know, patience, bro, and originality, you know, and thinking for the next person who's gonna listen to the music as well. As much as I'm a very bubbly person, if I don't see people dancing or moving, I get very concerned.
Mm-hmm.
So every time when I do music, whether it's chilled or it's vibey, I just want to see people happy. I want to see them vibing and everything. So I think that's what I can really say: originality and having a vibe, groove into the music.
Sure. Now your music production and your skills as a DJ has managed to acclaim you some accolades and managed to put you on platforms that are quite amazing.
Yeah.
Share some of that with us.
I've heard, like, recently, you know, we've heard people playing the recent release that we had, like Elijah, you know. You get guys like DJ Kent vibing the music, you know, Libza, Black Coffee even, you know, and Temba vibing the music in New York. And that's great, man, you know? It makes me happy. And the music also has put me on certain levels where even I have went like, wow, this is really cool. You know, from like mixes on different platforms, you know, radio stations and everything, to being, as you said, ones and twos. I really don't want to
look, man. You're gonna have to talk about that, because you're not gonna run away from it. We want to hear the experience, because you know, you must remember that this show is also listened by someone back home who maybe aspires to be a DJ.
Yeah,
and especially with your journey that you're sharing right now, you might be inspiring you, or you are inspiring someone sitting back home and listening, and actually wanting to find out more in terms of how do you navigate yourself in this industry if you want to be a successful DJ. So yeah, carry on with what you're saying.
Yeah, it also has put me on ones and twos, you know, which was a very, very, very great experience. It showed me that, okay, you're working, you know, you're getting there. slowly but surely.
How did you get into ones and twos?
I remember when the entries, like the forms came out and I entered. So I sent this other, at that time, we had, me and Cubs Essential, had this other song called Sugar. So I was like, ah, let me try my luck. Let me submit. But I was actually scared to submit. Let me not lie. So I sent it in. And then they called me, I think around Feb. They called me and they were like, yo, we heard your song. Come through for auditions. I was like, oh, okay. The auditions were Thursday. And then they were, when I got to the auditions, they were like, okay, you're going to mix your song with another song, the previous winner. And I was like, okay. You know, then they said they will tell you if you're going through or not. And went to Joburg for the auditions. Then they told us that you're in. And while I was like happy rejoicing, they're like, no, you still have to come for audition number two. I'm like, there's more auditions, you know? So I went to like the second auditions, same thing. But now they had to like, you know, cause it was Joburg and then it was KZN, sure. You know? So they had to like cut down people on the second audition.
Mm-hmm.
And then mixed it again. And yeah, man, it got me through. And they were like, yeah, you're going to be part of the show. From now on, yeah. So it was pretty cool, man. It was pretty
and
cool.
The thing is that you're missing out. How far did you go in the show?
Top four,
which is really good.
Which is yeah, it's
really good. Because I mean, what you call Ones and Twos was a show that was geared to discover young talent in the country, right?
True.
And you were amongst the best of the best in the country. I mean that says a lot about you. And I mean, as I'm saying that, it's quite an achievement. How did you feel after coming from Ones and Twos?
Ones and Twos. It was very... I was... Let me know. Like, I was very emotional at that time. Because it was... For me, it was more about... It wasn't more about winning. But it was more about being part of the top three. Or having something, you know? To say that, okay, this is an achievement. So, leaving... I remember before I left, Vitoto left. It was a very emotional departure for him and for me as well.
Yeah.
So when I left, it was like the same thing. Felt the same way, you know. Down that, okay, I left. But I was like, you know, with family, they kept on saying, no, but top four is, you know, top four is, it's really good. So as time went on, I think I bounced back and I started realizing that actually it's actually dope. Being part of the top four.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, and it really helped with the career as well.
Sure.
People started knowing more about Fellow, who is Fellow Liti, and they started playing more of Fellow's music, and they just started to appreciate even more, which was very exciting.
Now, the part that I want you to expand a bit more is the part where, in terms of your music, because I do know that you've released some music, that beautiful music that has actually reached quite far and wide in terms of the country and the worldwide. So, I mean, share some of the music that you've actually released.
Recently, I've released Elijah. It's an EP. I think I should have called it an album, though.
Yeah,
because it's doing very well.
Okay.
Yeah, but anyway, we recently released Elijah, and it has beautiful, beautiful music. Elijah, I actually was working on it at a very difficult time. You know, this was like after Ones and Twos. As I said,
sure.
When I left Ones and Twos, I really felt down, as if, like, you know, things are not working out and everything.
Yeah.
So I worked on Elijah at that time and I put so much effort into it. So yeah, before Elijah we had like other releases on online, like iTunes and Traxels, like Sugar, we had We Just Living. There's a few songs that we released before. But right now on Elijah we have beautiful songs like Stranger, Deja Vu, First Sight, Stimela, Dance Mayhem. Yo, It's
quite a list.
Yeah, it's quite a list, though.
And now the interesting thing when I read up about you is the fact that some of the music that you actually produced has been well complimented by some of the big names in the country. I mean, some of the guys that are pioneers when it comes to house music, and from production to being playing by the likes of DJ Tira, by the likes of Vinnie Da Vinci. I mean, you can expand more further in terms of some of the feedback and credibility that you've earned through some of the efforts that you've put in within your production side of music. And what do you have to say about that?
It's dope, man, you know. And when these people play the music, it actually gives you hope and it gives you more drive to work even harder.
Yeah.
I mean, when I first did my first ever EP called Homeland, and I used to spread it out, you know, around Pretoria, and I just gave it out for free. And Tira called me. He was like, yo, there's this other song we want for Sindo. We need that song. And, you know, so when he called, it was like more of like a motivation that, yo, you need to keep on working, you know. Obviously, in life is like a roller coaster. There's ups, there's downs, you know.
Sure.
So with the recent if I should say being noticed recently, like guys like Kent playing the music, as I said, you know, you Kent, Vinny as well, Lulo Cafe, you know, when they play the music, and your Black Coffee, it really motivates me to actually get up,
sure,
you know, from my bed and go like, I'm going to studio, I want to make a better song than the previous one, you know. And I remember there's something that Prince KB said on the show Ones and Twos. He was like, your today's performance has to be better than, you know, yesterday's. So your performance always has to be better than your previous one. And at that time, it didn't really make sense, you know, because you focused on another goal for me, which was being, you know, on top three or something. So as you grow, you get to realize that, oh, this is what they really meant, you know. Mm-hmm. So when these guys play the music, mm-hmm. It's more about me doing music that's better than the last one.
Sure. Now, and just as we close off, going forward, what can people expect from DJ Felolati?
More music, more shows,
yeah,
more projects with a lot of people, and more achievements, man.
Yeah. All right. In terms of your brand and the DJing career, how far do you see yourself?
The most important producer DJ in the country and in the world.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's how, like, traveling the globe.
Yeah.
Just to play music.
Beautiful, man. Because, I mean, we have people like Black Coffee, who's really setting the standards in a major way in the country and is representing not only South Africa, but Africa at large. And we have people like DJ Tira, who are really game changers in terms of the industry, from events, from being a DJ, for production. I mean, they're the ones that are basically controlling our ears in terms of what's in and what's not.
What's not.
But, yeah, I think that's the level. And I think, again, as the Unplugged and In Charge radio show, we profile people like you who are outstanding and are there on the way to the greats, you know. And I think it's a really great pleasure to have you on the show. But before we close off, what are some of the words of motivation that you have for a young person sitting at home that is thinking, whether it's a guy or a girl, that want to be a DJ and they want to make a success out of it? Yes, you might not be as successful as Black Coffee yet, but you have acclaimed a certain level of achievement that is enough to speak about to motivate someone back home. What are some of the words that you have for them back home?
Look, I always say this to myself. Look, hold on. It's going to be okay. Just hold on. Keep on working smart and hard. And pray, you know. I always involve God into my everyday life and work. It's going to be okay. It's going to be bad, and it's going to be good, and it's going to be very good, you know. Mm-hmm. So just hold on and focus on what you want in life and what you want to achieve. I promise it's going to be okay.
Awesome. Yeah. So where can people get you?
Instagram, Felolati, F-E-L-O-L-E-T-E-E. Instagram, that's @Felolati. Twitter @Felolati. Facebook, Philolati.
Yeah. All right, cool. Thank you so much, Philolati, for coming through onto the Unplugged and In Charge radio show.
It's been
a great pleasure to have you on the show. But yeah, this is myself, Smokuzi. We've reached the end. It's another edition of the Unplugged and In Charge radio show. You can check the podcast on the Cliff Central website, and you can download the podcast to listen to it again. But thank you very much for tuning in. Same time, same place next week on cliffcentral.com.